to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 85 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to another show. This is Ed. This week, we've got a special treat. Sam and John were both down in Hollywood Studios for the first Star Wars weekend. And what they did was they walked around basically talking to a recorder and sharing their thoughts as they experienced some of the new things down there for this year's Star Wars weekends. So, pull up a chair, throw on the headphones, put it in cruise control, and let's listen in. Take it away, Sam.
Thanks, Ed. It's Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. I am here live at Hollywood Studios. You can tell something's different. It is Star Wars weekends. We're past the security check, waiting for admission, where I'm going to use my Darth Vader magic band. We'll do that in just a second, but I'm with John. John, how you doing?
Good. Star Wars weekends, most wonderful time of year.
There you go. Star Wars weekends 2015. So what I thought we'd do is kind of walk around a little bit, get a little bit of background music, and point out some of the things that have changed and what's new. And we'll start by going through one of the turnstiles here. The magic band returns. I am going to scan my Darth Vader magic band. I hope that that works. Thank you. And yes, it did work, which was great. So the first thing we do as we enter Crossroads, right in the front is a huge Star Wars Weekends Central. This is where you get your maps, your times guides. And it looks like they're giving away both Star Wars Weekends and Hollywood Studios times guides. So let's go ahead and grab both of those. Good morning. Can I have one, please? Thank you. And I need this one, too. All right, so what I have is a Star Wars Weekends map, Star Wars Weekends Weekend Number 1, 2015, along with a Hollywood Studios guide and a Times guide. And that's really where you need to start if you're coming to Studios for Star Wars Weekends. Grab that Star Wars Weekends map because that is absolutely your guide to everything happening. Inside of this map, it's going to list anything happening regarding Star Wars Weekends. From the merchandise, the celebrity appearances, to the Theater of the Stars merchandise, character experiences, we're going to talk about all of that in just a bit. Now, it is, I'm not sure exactly what time it is. What time is it, John? It's 10:20, and everyone's lined up for the 11 o'clock parade.
I need you to go over.
And we're being directed away. There we go. Here's a crosswalk. And there are quite a few people out for the parade already, huh?
Definitely. I've been here with Mark Hamill was here, Peter Mayhew, Ray Park. They get here when park opens, and you'll see people line up when the park opens.
And we should start with that because it is Sunday. We were here Friday and Saturday. And as we left last evening, Friday, there were people camping for Sunday morning.
Yes, I was here Thursday is surveying the land, and park closed at 8:30, and they had 9 people already camping out for the first day of Star Wars weekends to get autographs.
Yeah, kind of incredible. Today's celebrities, which changes every weekend, so you're going to want to look into this. The host, James Arnold Taylor, and he's here for all of Star Wars weekends. Ian McDiarmid, who is the actor that is the Emperor Palpatine in the series, is here. We were able to watch him yesterday in the Stars of the Saga talk show, which we have audio for later in the show. We also have some others here today. Ashley Eckstein's here. Amy Allen's here. We're being called up for being late getting here. That was Scott. At the same time, as we're walking down Hollywood Boulevard, the parade starts at 11. It's already 6 people deep. We watched the parade yesterday, but there's one thing we noticed walking down Hollywood Boulevard. There's no Sorcerer's Hat, John.
No, not at all. And I know we'll get to it later on in the show, but some stormtroopers make note of that. So.
Yeah, that was actually pretty funny. The stormtrooper pre-shows that he's referring to happened before the talk shows, and they're quite intriguing and quite interesting, and we have audio for that later.
Going back to the parade, if you do not have a package, definitely get to the left of the street. That's where the sun's behind the buildings and you're in the shade.
Let's talk about that for a second, because we are approaching where the Sorcerer's Hat used to be, and now that is the Star Wars Weekend's event stage. Very, very similar to last year's stage, maybe some slight changes, but anyway, a look at it. This is a temporary stage. This isn't permanent. I'm sure this will come down after Star Wars Weekends or be rethemed for the Frozen Summer. We'll come back to that later. But as we're down Hollywood Boulevard, we're now in the center area, and this is where your premium packages are coming into effect. So on our left-hand side is the Star Wars Weekends Feel the Force premium package, and on our right is the premium deluxe package along with the VIP package. So a couple of interesting things here, and we'll get to this in a little bit. On the left side, they've actually have a reserved area in the premium package for kids in the very front, and then their parents behind them. We'll talk about that in a bit. So basically, if you're bringing little ones and you've paid for that package, they're going to get a prime seat right in the front where they're not allowed to stand up, and everybody else stands behind them, which is somewhat interesting. The VIP package, where they're probably riding Toy Story Mania right now with their fast passes, because that area is empty. They'll be filling in there soon. But, I mean, just being here in the center of Hollywood Studios, you can hear the background music. It's pretty cool. In fact, the big thing they're pushing is social media, right? Hashtag SWW2015.
Yep, this is the second year they've been really pushing social media, and if you use the hashtag with photos, at the end of the night, you might see your photo on the stage with the pre-show to the fireworks.
Absolutely, and even right now, there are pictures being displayed with the hashtag SWW2015, and there's lots and lots of those. Now, since the parade is about to start, it's not about to start. It's got 40 minutes, and there's still people everywhere. I'm looking back down towards the crossroads in front of the stage. On my right is the former home of American Idol, which right now is empty. Interestingly enough, they're using the screen in front of American Idol as a secondary screen for the main screen.
Mm-hmm.
So you see everything there.
For overflow.
Lots of people in costume. It's going to be a hot day. That's for sure. Now, one thing I will mention, the hat's gone. And I didn't realize this until Saturday when I arrived at 5 p.m. and watching a stage show. The hat used to be a lot of shade that it brought.
Yes.
So instead of standing in front of the stage in the shadows, I was in the direct sunlight. So keep that in mind. Don't forget the sunscreen when you're coming down. And shade is very important. Which, to John's point, if you are here for the parade, looking at the stage, the left-hand side is where the shade is. The sun's on the right.
Yep.
All right, let's head back towards the new location of Darth's Mall. Of course, the parade here features all of the celebrities and also the 501st. The 501st is always pretty cool.
And right behind the old American Idol stage is ABC Soundstage, where they're doing a 30-minute recap of Rebels Season 1.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. So we did do that, and I will admit that I had never watched Star Wars Rebels, Disney XD, saw all the commercials and the promos. In fact, last year, Star Wars Weekends 2014, they were talking about that quite extensively. So what they did is in the premiere theater, which when I was here a month ago was Cinderella previews, they are showing a recap of, like you said, Season 1 of Star Wars Rebels, which was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I've never seen that episode either, and I felt like I was caught up, knew the characters, and ready for Season 2 in the summer.
Season 2 in the summer, which will lead us right up to The Force Awakens, which might have been mentioned while we're here.
Just a couple times. There's subtle hints and maybe a trailer played one or two times.
So the trailer was played. We're now making our way back towards Echo Lake with Superstar Television on our right-hand side, which will soon be rethemed to the Hyperion Theater, but it still says Superstar Television, as the Frozen event is still back at the Premiere Theater, so that hasn't moved yet. Back to the point, Disney Rebels, pretty cool. I'm interested and intrigued to watch Season 2, which goes right up to The Force Awakens. There's been no official, outside of the trailer, anything regarding The Force Awakens, except for one t-shirt, right?
Exactly. JJ makes a video appearance but says nothing about the movie. There's no conversation about the movie in shows. So except for the trailer and something that happens before the fireworks, I'm sure we'll get to, it's very, very centered on the old movies.
There's a Star Wars family near us, which looks pretty cool. Mom and Dad are Han Solo and Chewbacca, and there's a Princess and R2-D2 are the kids, which is really cool. That's the things you see at Star Wars weekends.
If I can go back to the parade one
absolutely.
Quick second. If you're not interested in Chewie or the stars and you want to see the 501st goes all the way down to Star Tours. So if you don't want to wait in that long line, you can get around Star Tours all the way to the American Idol Theater 5 to 10 minutes before the parade and see all the 501st.
So, and that's a great point, because as they come down, the 501st comes down Hollywood Boulevard, goes to the left past the former American Idol place as well, right?
Yeah.
The celebrities all stop, get out of their cars, and go on stage, and are introduced, and James Arnold Taylor talks about everybody that's there, that kind of cool stuff. What a lot of people don't know is, after they're done with that stage show, that's when they get back in their cars or the convertibles, and Mickey on top of the X-Wing, and they go back down Hollywood Boulevard the other direction.
Exactly.
So that's a second opportunity to see the stars and at least Jedi Mickey.
Especially if you're third row, fourth row, back, watching them go down the street, you have a better shot of getting first row when they come back down second time.
Yeah, so. Which is really good. So we stopped in front of Indy Jones. Let's keep walking back towards Star Tours. And actually, I'm looking at people walking into Star Wars Rebels, the ultimate guide, presented by Disney XD. That's going on in... I don't even know. What's the name of this place now? Is this still ABC Soundstage, yes. Yes, and of course, lots of character meet and greets. Next to the soundstage is Queen Amidala, which is a wonderful costume, and quite a long line. Lots of autograph books, lots of kids, photo pass photographers.
Pretty much in the shade, which is nice.
Yes, very nice. Very quick. All right, so now we are, on our left is the Backlot Express, Indy Jones Gifts, and straight ahead is Star Tours. And something that we have to point out here when it comes to Backlot Express, maybe let's stop for a second. A couple of things happening. Number one, recently Disney came out with the Express ordering system. And there are lots and lots of signs for that here, where you can download an app from iTunes or the Google Play Store and order your lunch or counter service ahead of time. Now, I think there's a little more to it than just that, right?
Right.
Because if you look at what they've done with the Backlot Express, half of it is counter service, and the other half is now the Rebel Hangar.
Which, to me, was the best experience of the weekend so far.
And we did that. Let's walk over towards it here. So what they've done is taken half of Backlot Express and turned it into another Star Wars dining option. Now, what I found the most interesting here is the theming. So take the Backlot Express, and essentially what you've done is turned it into a Rebel hangout. Now, this ties very nicely into Star Wars Rebels, which I didn't realize until we saw last year's recap. Let's go ahead and walk in real quick.
Definitely.
So the hangar, a Star Wars lounge experience. What you have here is lots of camouflage, lots of gear from planets all over the Star Wars system. In fact, that's exactly how they advertise it, as being a hangout. It doesn't look like they've opened yet, but we're going to walk over in this corner anyway. Star Wars hangar, the Rebel hangar, a Star Wars experience, a Star Wars lounge experience. And inside you can see all of the theming. Oh, yeah, we can get in the other way. Lots of cool theming.
I was very impressed with the theming. The food was great.
In fact, I have some audio from our experience here. We're going to go ahead and attempt to cut to that audio, and then we'll be right back.
Good, how are you?
Great.
Great.
So what's going on in here? This is pretty cool.
Pretty awesome, right? Oh, well, you know, here at the Rebel Hangar Lounge. We do have the Cantina Band. They might travel around while we're here. We might get sing one of them.
Cool.
We have some awesome refreshing beverages for you. My personal favorite is the Dagobah Swamp Juice.
Dagobah Swamp Juice.
It's going to be all the way back here. It's Midori non-liqueur, Tito's vodka, and sweet and sour with topping for lemon lime foam, and then it comes with your X-Fighter wing.
Nice. Yeah, sweet sunset.
Yeah, that one's good too. Like a little sweeter. You have the coconut rum.
Mini cocktails, a trio. Can you do a trio of cocktails?
Unfortunately not. But I mean, you could order three cocktails.
Blue milk. What's the blue milk?
It's blue bantha milk, so it's blue raspberry flavor.
Blue milk on the menu. Love
it. Food-wise, we have all kinds of good stuff. My personal favorite is gonna be the slider sandwich. The Sith and the Jedi. It's our barbecue pulled brisket and barbecue pulled chicken. Barbecue pulled brisket's on a pumpernickel bread with arugula, and then the chicken's on a sesame bun. Oh, no, sorry, the brisket has the coleslaw, the Jedi.
That looks pretty good. Lightsaber plates. What are the corn dogs?
Those are homemade. Like, they're like corn dogs with the knockwurst sausage. They're amazing, too.
It's a dark fried chicken.
Dark fried, yeah. Fried chicken, dark tater waffles, all kinds of good stuff there. Would you like to start with maybe some beverages?
Yes. And I don't quite know what to get because now I'm confused. Do you have the little Death Star?
You can add the Death Star if you want it instead. I believe it's like $5, but if you wanted it instead of that, you could do that.
Yeah, but the X-Wing's awesome too.
Yeah, they're both pretty good.
I would like a Rebel Red.
Rebel Red.
Which is Grey Goose, Chambord, Sweet Sour, Grenadine.
Mm-hmm.
That does sound good.
Can I get a Coke, please?
Of course.
Yoda key lime cake looks good, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what better cheesecake?
Everything on there is amazing, you know? You're welcome. Give me just a minute. I'm going to say hi to some other
Absolutely. Thank you so much. All right, so if you haven't figured it out, we are sitting in the Rebel Hangar, which is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
So where are we exactly?
We are at the Studio Express.
So imagine this, Studio Express, which is right next to Star Tours. And inside, typically this is counter service. All of the counters, the drink machines are all covered up with camouflage to disguise this area, which is now a Rebel hangout. We're hiding from the Empire. This is very much themed everywhere. The theme was from when we entered all the way through.
Yep.
Right? So they asked us what we were doing. We replied with "we're between missions," which was the right reply, right? Lots of droids in the area that we're in. There are also some bounty hunter sections. So this is really kind of cool. The menu looks great too.
And from hints from the server and the host, some characters might drop by.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there.
All right, the other, and of course, every counter service right now, we're inside Backlot Express, has taken on the Star Wars themes with the cupcakes, right? They all have the Yoda, Jabba the Hutt, and Darth Vader cupcakes. They're very good. Yoda is chocolate cupcake with chocolate hazelnut buttercream and candy crunch. Jabba the Hutt is chocolate cupcake with salted caramel frosting. Oh, that's good. And the Darth Vader's chocolate cupcake with rich peanut butter and chocolate frosting. They're all chocolate, I've noticed. Chocolate. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Going back to the hangar, which, well, I thought it was interesting, is you have to have a reservation, but they do take walk-ups. Reservations sit inside with the good theming. Walk-ups, you sit outside, and you're treated like, quote-unquote, rebel scum.
Which is pretty interesting, if you ask me. Yeah. So there's definitely a theme here, and it ties back into the Rebels, and there were actually characters walking around. I think you got some of that audio, but it's not advertised as a character meet and greet or character experience. There were characters there, and the cool part was they would interact with you, and if you knew the storyline, they stuck to that storyline tremendously.
I mean, they were very in character, knew what they were talking about, and if you're a kid 9 to 13, the age base they're trying to get to, you're in heaven.
Absolutely. And in fact, I wish that we had watched the season one recap before we went into the hangar.
Exactly, because they said what planet they're on, and that's where the Rebel hangar is.
Which is pretty cool. And it's an abandoned spaceport with relics from hundreds of planets across the galaxy, which is pretty cool. Okay, we're out of Backlot Express, and we're headed towards Star Tours. And Star Tours right now, a 30-minute wait. and lots of people lined up for the Jedi Academy.
Which
so Jedi
has 12 showings each day of Star Wars weekend. So.
Yeah, so the Jedi Academy is something that came out of Star Wars weekends. In fact, I, without any paper in front of me, I'm going to guess that this was, you know, early 2000s the Jedi Academy started. And it was at one point only on Star Wars weekends. But now it is every day with additional opportunities during Star Wars weekends.
Exactly. And if it's a busy day that's not even Star Wars weekends, they bring Darth Maul and have 7 to 8 more extra kids a show that gives everybody a chance to do the show.
Which is really cool. And if you don't know, you need to get here early. You sign up children. I believe the age is 13 and under. Adults cannot do it, although I've tried. And you get to go through the Jedi training and ultimately face Darth Vader, which is really cool.
Exactly. I wish I was a kid and would have had the experience to do that.
Absolutely. So, all right, we're now headed just past Star Tours. On our right is the meet and greet with Chewbacca and an Ewok. Chewie's not out right now, but you can tell the queue is set up to go all the way down to the sci-fi.
Yeah, I was here Friday morning was the first thing I did, and I was at ABC at the line 20 minutes into when the park opened.
So you're standing at ABC Commissary, which I'm looking is quite a long queue to go all the way around to where the speeder bike is. So
yeah.
That's where essentially where Chewbacca and an Ewok will be.
It was an hour and 20 minutes to get up to Chewie.
That's crazy. We're stopping here right in front of the sci-fi. On our left, there's an extra bar. There seem to be lots and lots of extra bar with your Star Wars specialty drinks and your glow-up X-Wing or Death Star.
Yeah, it was a lot of bars on Sunset Boulevard. By Primetime, had a couple out there, and by Darth Maul, where we're headed right now.
Yeah, but I thought I'd stop at the sci-fi because you and I went through this experience last year, Star Wars Awakens 2014. And much like the hangar is new this year, last year it was the Dine-In Galactic Breakfast.
Which I thought was great, and a lot of people don't know it is a buffet, but since the restaurant's so small, they can't host a buffet bar, so you just have to ask the waiter for another plate of what you want, and they'll bring it right to you.
Yeah, and they'll hook you up. And I would add to that, so when the sci-fi last year started, so did Hollywood and Vine with their experience there as well. They're both character dining, essentially. So just like going to Chef Mickey's, except at Hollywood and Vine, you're going to see Jedi Mickey and Mini Princess Leia and those characters. And if you come here to the sci-fi, you're going to get a photo opportunity with Darth Vader and Boba Fett. And then you sit in one of the cars. But now the sci-fi's been rethemed so that you're watching Star Wars video clips. Which, by the way, check out Sam's Disney Diary. There's lots of cool clips from that. And there's some interaction with Jawas and Greedo who walks around, right?
Definitely. And you're paying for the experience. You're paying for the
interaction. And as a parent, I will say that you do the exact same thing if you go to Chef Mickey's.
Yep.
You do the same thing if you go to Cinderella's Royal Table. You're doing the same thing for all of those. What you're doing here is getting the opportunity to get up close and personal and a picture with Darth Vader without waiting in Vader's line, which is in the back of studios, which is longer than the Chewbacca line we just talked about.
Exactly. And the troopers very interact with you, Greedo. You can trade with the Jawas.
So bartering with the Jawas is fun.
Yeah.
You have to do that. So even if it's dead battery, I think I've said that on the show before, but that's fun.
And the food's great. I really thought the breakfast was...
Yeah, the food's
really
definitely good.
And
like you mentioned, you know, get a second one. Because the way the sci-fi dining theater set up, there's no room for a buffet.
Exactly.
Whereas Hollywood and Vine is traditionally a buffet dining, right? Mm-hmm. That's where they do the Disney Junior characters. All they've done is rethemed it so that they bring in the Star Wars characters, or actually Jedi Mickey, so it's your Mickey Star Wars mashup characters versus the sci-fi, which does not have a place for buffet, so you can order.
Exactly.
Now, obviously, the popularity of this has been incredible. So much so that last year it was only available during Star Wars weekends.
Yep.
So it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, that was it. And by the way, this is in the morning before the restaurant would open for lunch.
Exactly.
So they were adding additional dining options. One of the cool things now is it's available every day. And not just during Star Wars weekends, from May the 4th all the way through the end of Star Wars weekends
right.
in June. But it's a hot reservation and a tough one to get. And I have to say, that stuck. And when you look at the hangar and what we talked about, that's obviously another dining option for Star Wars fans during Star Wars weekends.
Definitely.
And it was very reasonably priced, the hangar, by the way.
Yes, that experience to me was the best experience this weekend.
Well, that's a new experience for you. That's why that happened, right? All right, so which way should we go here? We're going to cut down the streets of America, and I think I hear Malt, Sweat, and Cheers.
Yep.
And we will get a little audio of them as we walk by.
There you go.
And I got to tell you, New York Street yesterday was busier than I've seen it since the Osborne Lights.
The first 2 days, the first weekend is always intense.
It is, absolutely.
One quick note to make of the characters. If you want to meet the characters, around 10:30, they go to the parade. So if you want to get them in the morning, go early.
Oh, so Chewbacca's not here because he's in the parade. Right. This makes complete sense. And in fact, we have purposely chosen to go back to Darth Maul during the parade because we have the parade audio and video, and it's packed. Yeah. And I don't want to wait 3 hours in line to shop.
Exactly. It was quite a line yesterday, and then Friday was a 3.5-hour wait in the morning. So.
Yeah, crazy. Obviously, we've just come around the streets of America. Muppet Vision 3D, there's my nod to you, Steve Swanson. Maybe we can get Malt, Sweat, and Cheers to play something Muppets. All right, bear with us while we walk by here. All right, so we're past Malt, Sweat, and Cheers. And one of the things I noticed, you guys merchandise. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it's all Marvel stuff.
It is all Marvel. It's all Avengers, but it doesn't say that.
No, because of the contracts, but you have a feeling that Marvel weekends are coming soon once.
Yeah, I love the speculation. I love the fact that it's obviously Captain America and the Incredible Hulk and others that cannot be mentioned. At the same time, it's The whole Marvel's weekend, if you step back a second and look at what's happening in the industry and the fact that Universal recently negotiated a contract with Nintendo to bring the Mario characters potentially into the theme parks.
Exactly.
Which could be the first step of them letting some of those rights back to Disney or allowing Disney to purchase them.
Exactly. And, you know, Universal doesn't have that much more room to grow. Super Marvel Land, Hero Land.
Yeah, you never know.
Nintendo.
Let them do whatever they need. All right, back to Star Wars weekends. It's easy to digress here, isn't it? All right, we are approaching the new location of Darth's Maul, which we are about to. So we're at the end of New York Street. We're going straight, and we're stepping into what used to be the turnaround circle for the Backlot Tour. And we're actually on the track right now. Kind of cool. There's a nice big Star Wars Darth Maul. Two new locations with the... And by the way, as you just pointed out, the line is extremely short because the parade is happening. If you want merchandise, this is the time to get back here.
Definitely. And if you're coming for all 3 days, or if you need to pick a day to come, come Sunday. Sunday has the same shows as Friday, has the same merchandise.
Same people, yeah. Same guests, same celebrities, absolutely. So I think before we go back here a little further, let's stop for a second, because there have been some big changes to Darth's Maul this year. So last year it was in, well, let's go back a little bit, because it's had quite the history. It started in Hot Set 1, which is the building next to Toy Story Mania. Then for a while it moved back to a tent behind the Rock and Roller Coaster, kind of Tower Terror.
Mm-hmm.
Then it moved back to Soundstage 1. And now it is in essentially the former location of the Backlot Tour.
Definitely.
Now, what's interesting is they've broken it into three separate stores. So Darth's Maul is X-Wing Collectibles, Waldo's Grotto, and the Prop Shop. And there are different merchandise in each of these.
Definitely.
But one to be aware of, the Prop Shop, you're aware of this if you've ever been to the studios. You just didn't know it was called the Prop Shop. It's across from the studio's catering company. And this is Star Wars, I'm going to read what it says here, Star Wars Classic Toys, T-shirts, and Lego items, which is not anything Star Wars weekend specific. So this store's open all the time.
Definitely. And cool thing about that is a lot of hidden Star Wars treasures. If you look around, you see some snow troopers, you see some hidden Disney Star Wars figurines.
It is themed very, very well. Now the other two locations, they've split it into two. And interestingly enough, the reason they've done that is one of the locations is the building where American Film Institute used to be. Mm-hmm. This is the exit from the Backlot Tour.
Right.
And the other building, X-Wing Collectibles, is the loading building from the Backlot Tour.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to actually be walking back here along the trail that was for the trams, basically between the load and unload buildings and Lights, Motors, Action, Stunt Show.
Definitely.
It's pretty cool. A lot of sound back here from the cars when they're going.
Exactly.
But anyway, you look at it. We're going to go ahead and head in. I like some of the theme here. It's actually starting to drizzle a little bit.
Yeah.
Even a better reason to head in. They have moved some props from the Boneyard that used to be on the tour and placed them up here. So there's a snow speeder. And there was also a land barge up here.
Yeah.
And they also have done some really cool things with the old school Topps trading cards. And if you're around my age, you remember collecting these when you were a kid. Ed, I know that you have some. Oh, man, the Boba Fett Steins are out again. Oh, merchandise. I can't believe they're still out of those. We're still going to go in. We're going to first go into Waldo's Grotto. We're going to do a live look around inside there. You can hear the music as we approach, and like I said, the line is not that long.
No.
All right, lots of cards, lots of merchandise. The Lightspeed Pass entrance is up ahead. Of course, that was the, if you participated in the Thursday event for $250, you got the opportunity to skip the lines. But right now, there really isn't a line, so there's nothing to skip. Now, they say they're out of the Boba Fett Steins back here, but I just heard somebody say that they are available at the Slushy location, which we are going to be going to here as soon as we're done here. Some pretty cool technology here on the walls as we approach Waldo's Grotto. There are some posters. If you download the app, when you look at the posters through your phone, they come to life. So there's a speeder bike chase, and you get to see the bike flying around and doing all that kind of stuff.
Which is very entertaining if you're waiting out in the hot sun in a hour to 2 hour wait.
Well, and so day one, it was a two-hour wait. There is some shade. It's the same area that you would exit from the backlot train. But if the line's long, it does go into the sun. And I will say there's definitely a feel of transition happening here.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So let's go ahead into Waldo's Grotto here and take a look at what merchandise we have. So this is primarily Star Wars weekend-themed merchandise. This is also where you can get your name tags made, which I did a couple of those yesterday. Lots of T-shirts, lots of pins, lots of stuff, right?
And there's cool theming on the walls with the two suns from Tatooine, and you got some sand people.
Yeah, the theming's good. I do love the setting suns of Tatooine. That's always cool.
You also have a snack bar in here as well.
Yes, and that's where I was able to procure a Han Solo frozen and carbonite popcorn bucket yesterday.
Definitely.
Which is definitely cool. Two. Thank you. They're letting us in as they're clicking their clicker to make sure they're not over capacity inside.
So the first thing we see is the Star Wars Weekend shirts, which are available in different stores throughout.
That's absolutely right. So some of this merchandise, although it is exclusive to Star Wars Weekends, you can find it in other stores around Hollywood Studios. And in fact, that's much different than it used to be, because prior to Disney acquiring Lucas, it was obvious that you could only get these T-shirts Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They were available no place else. But after acquisition, you can find these in the main store as you leave Hollywood Studios.
So if you want a general Star Wars shirt, you don't want the pass holder shirt, and you want the mug, you want the pin, you want the cup, you can definitely get it at Pluto's Toy Palace or the Villain Store.
The Villain Store was pretty cool. I don't know if we'll make it back there, but they have a huge part of the Villain Store on Sunset Boulevard that is themed to Star Wars villains merchandise.
So the point is, if you don't want to wait 2.5 hours, if it's a long line, just go in the store in the front and you can find generic Star Wars Weekends merchandise.
Absolutely. So a couple of other interesting things in this particular location. I love the name badges we already mentioned, but they also have an official pick collection. And what this is photographs from all of the Star Wars trilogies that are autographed by the actors. So there's some Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill autographs over there.
This company was at Celebration as well, so...
Okay, so part of Celebration. I'm guessing somehow tied to Disney, obviously. And
I love it because it harkens back to what this was. This was the American Film Institute, the building we're standing in. In fact, the last time I was standing in this building, there was an ice skating rink, and my kids were making snowmen in the wintertime when we had snow on the ground back home, but you wouldn't know anything about that.
And two things to point out, also with that picture company, they also have pictures of the stars that are here this weekend without autographs.
Oh, yes, without autographs. So if you just so happen to need to buy one, and you were lucky enough to get an autograph. I don't know if we mentioned this as we were coming down Sunset Boulevard, but the people were camping out for those autographs. They were gone when we got here.
Yeah.
And that was at about 10-ish?
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously the parade's going on because there's not a lot of people in here.
And one thing to note about the name tag, that does take up to 20 minutes to get your name tag.
I did it yesterday. So not only did we wait in line to get into the store, I waited in line to get the name tag done so that I could wait 20 minutes for them to make it. But fortunately enough, there happens to be a snack bar with some very interesting drinks right behind us.
Definitely.
We'll get there in a second, but first, Ashley Eckstein's Her Universe is in here as well. Looks like she's signing her products later today at 3:30. But this is the fangirl merchandise. So if you're looking for a Star Wars dress or anything along those lines, this is where you're going to find it. And there's some pretty cool stuff.
It's definitely a whole wall of Her Universe.
Prices. There's a really cute Ewok handbag that I looked at for my daughter, but that was $50. Sorry, honey. She's going to get me for that one later. Star Wars coffee mugs. I did get myself one of those. R2-D2, C-3PO, Princess Leia, Mickey ears. The Leia ears are kind of cool. They got the hair in each of the ears. Let's take a look at these specialty drinks here. The Alderaan, the Endor, the Tatooine, the Boba Fett Stein. Really cool stuff here. And there's the one T-shirt that is Star Wars The Force Awakens. All right, once you're through here, you get to wait through the line to pay. So let's go ahead out the front. Oh, I should also mention they have expanded the lightsaber, build-your-own lightsaber section, and also build-your-own droid, which are still both located in Star Tours, but in Star Tours they are much, much busier.
Yeah.
Very crowded. There's a little more space here anyway. So we're going to go ahead and leave Wallow's Grotto and head down to lightsabers. All right, so we are now headed further back. So basically, if you go back in time, we just left the unload building and we're headed to the load building for the backlot tour. So this is the area where the empty trams would travel.
Exactly.
Pretty cool.
You can get a nice shot at the Earful Tower.
You can. In fact, the Earful Tower, along with, if you remember this, guys, from riding the backlot tour, there's a topiary Earful Tower back there, and it's still there, and it still looks great. And I might have put a camera through the temporary bush fence to take a picture of that. Actually, the line here looks a little longer than the other one.
Yeah, which is surprising.
It is surprising. So X-Wing Collections, it says Arts and Collectibles, Detect Me, Limited Edition Pins, and Vinylmations. That's what's in this shop.
And also the thing to point is that the canyon in the backlot tour still seems intact from what we can see.
You know, that's a great point. So standing here in line to our left, you're basically looking at the back of Lights, Motors, Actions, but you can see Catastrophe Canyon and a lot of the other things that used to be part of the backlot tour, and it doesn't appear that anything has happened to those at this point.
Not at all.
So with that, while we wait in line here, I'm going to go ahead and we are going to magically be in the store. Watch. And we just took the Lightspeed Pass, too. Thank you so much. We are headed into X-Wing Collectibles.
Just in time before the rain gets
in. Just as it's starting to rain, which is parade time. Sorry, Scott. So X-Wing Collectibles, a couple of cool things in here. There is an artist signing right now. Check out this Mary Blair-inspired Star Wars artwork.
Exactly. There's even a poster that's supposed to be the facade of It's a Small World.
I love it. I just think that they're incredible. There's some pictures on the website. This is some great... there's even some that look like Haunted Mansion posters. So take Mary Blair, take It's a Small World style and apply it to Star Wars. Unbelievable. There are tons of limited edition artwork in here, some beautiful things. Raymond Swanland, one of the artists, is signing autographs right now. There's a small line for some of his work. This is also where the Detect Me experience is.
Right.
So
way, way, way back for Star Wars Weekends and Sam's Disney Diary, I did D-Tech Me, both the Princess with my daughter and the Han Solo Frozen and Carbonite. They have expanded this now to include, you name it. There are Jedis, princesses, the regular figures, the larger figures. Prices ranging from $150 to $1,500. It's quite impressive as to what they have and what's available. Limited edition pins here as well. I also see the new Magic Bands in here. The Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. I'm still liking my original from last year.
And with the Donald and Mickey, they say may the force be with you in their respective voices. So.
Yeah, so when you scan it to come in, you'll hear Donald Duck say may the force be with you. I'm also looking at a poster... not a poster, more framed artwork of all of the pins available here for Star Wars Weekends 2015, and it is impressive. And I think, you know, pin trading is still there, but the only real pins that I go, wow, are the Star Wars pins.
Yeah, agreed.
Big figs over this direction. This year, who do we have here? We have Goofy as Chewbacca carrying C-3PO. We also have Huey, Dewey, and Louie as Jawas, and it looks like they are... taking apart a droid of some sort. We have what appears to be, I'm going to say that's Daisy Duck.
Daisy as Aurora.
Daisy as Aurora Singh. That Aurora Singh is the bounty hunter that you see with the antenna that comes out of her head, who's here all the time. And Jimmy, for you, we have Stitch over here. Who is Stitch here, John?
I know. Grievous.
Stitch is Grievous, and he has... four lightsabers, and it just looks menacing. In fact, you can't really tell it's Stitch because he's in armor, but you know it's Stitch just by looking at the ears, right? We also have some Dooney and Burke Star Wars purses. How about that? I know not your speed, John. Well, maybe it is. I'm not sure, but there are lots of them here, too, and you would expect them to fly out of here. These are, they don't say Star Wars Weekends, but they are obviously Star Wars. I take it back. There is a tag on it that says Star Wars Weekends 2015. The larger purse, $278. The small handbag, $98. I think that's in line with regular prices here. I'm going to make my way around to a couple of other items that I wanted to point out. One is Star Wars action figures. Now, when I was a kid, I had Star Wars action figures just like everybody did. And they were, you know, your 3-4-inch figures. They now have in the packaging, like those original figures, Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back, which appeared to be an 18-inch doll, and it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
So basically, take Barbie doll size, take your old Star Wars guy and blow it up the Barbie doll size. That's incredible. There's also a Wampa here that is 22 inches that the Luke Skywalker rides on. Incredible stuff here. This is, I gotta move along. Move along. Lots of audio here, too, from SMS. The headphones, you name the Star Wars character, you'll find it. R2-D2, Darth Vader, Chewbacca, a TIE fighter pilot. Here's the Vinylmations, which, of course, are the grab bags. So you grab one, not exactly sure what you'll get. Lots of posters. You name the merchandise. What are you getting, John?
Passwater t-shirt and then the Star Wars The Force Awakens shirt. So.
The Passholder t-shirt I do like. That will be in my collection. The Force Awakens shirt, yeah, it's cool. It's got one of the new Stormtroopers on it. It's got the release date on it. But it doesn't say Star Wars Weekends. That's why I'm...
Yeah.
That's, you know... So to me, if it doesn't say Star Wars Weekends, I can find it at Walmart or Target back home.
You're looking at the detail in the store. You have X-Wing costumes, and then over to the right, you have 3PO and R2-D2 and different droids and different Star Wars helmets. So the detail in the stores are very themed as well. So.
Where'd this stuff come from? And there you can hear Lights, Motors, Action starting outside. That's how close we are to it, right? Because we're in the building that was the load area. I hear a Kim Possible ringer, don't you?
Are we in Epcot?
I do. It does sound like it. All right, with that, why don't we take a break while we shop and head back. We're going to shop while it's raining, and then we're going to head to see what else is going on Star Wars Weekend.
Sounds good.
All right, we just finished inside the X-Wing Collectibles. We're now back past Waldo's Grotto, and we're cutting into the prop shop. Now, the prop shop, the way that we're getting there is almost as if we were exiting American Film Institute. The Monsters, Inc. open house is on our right, and the Monsters characters are indeed still there.
Yep.
That hasn't changed. Now, historically at Star Wars Weekends, this is where Darth Vader was, but Darth Vader has moved. We'll get to that in just a second. In fact, Darth Maul is now located where Darth Vader previously was, which is right outside the restrooms here by the studio's catering company. And I'm going into the prop shop, and some of the merchandise is the same. Here's the Star Wars Weekend, or Star Wars The Force Awakens t-shirt is available here. Jedi Mickey, Jedi Mini, lots of cell phone covers. Lots of merchandise that might not say Star Wars Weekends on it, but it's definitely Star Wars. There's the Duffy Darth Vader. Yeah, how can you not have a Duffy Darth Vader? Obviously, that does not say Star Wars Weekends on it, but that's okay. I do like this one here, the Darth Vader. I Am Your Father's Day 2015.
So last year, they went into the last weekend of Star Wars Weekends to unleash...
Father's Day stuff.
Yeah.
But this is dated. That's got 2015 on it. It doesn't say Star Wars Weekends. It just says, I Am Your Father's Day 2015. There's also some pretty cool Legos in here. How about the baby stuff? The Dark Side, If Only You Knew the Power of the Dark Side, onesies, little Chewbacca, Let the Wookiee Win, kind of cute stuff. More R2-D2 Mickey heads. Here is Chewbacca as Legos, which is cool. So lots of Lego sets you can find here as well. It's pretty cool. Here are some car clings, which are essentially very large magnets that can go on the side of a car. There's Darth Vader and R2-D2. A Millennium Falcon looks pretty cool. I like the smaller Vader with a couple of Stormtroopers. Reminds me of the little Tinkerbell magnets that they've had so many times.
Yep.
That maybe not for you, but you see those a lot on cars back north. Now here is... one display of Star Wars Weekends merchandise in the prop shop. This is pins, buttons, t-shirts, autograph books, posters, hats. So this is indeed Star Wars Weekends merchandise in the prop shop. I guess my thought would be, I wonder if this will be here Monday.
I will be here Monday and let you guys know.
All right, and I only say that because... historically, at Star Wars Weekends, there was Star Wars Weekends merchandise here, but it would be gone during the week and come back Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So
all right.
We mentioned before, so if you don't want to wait in 2-hour line, you can just walk up into the prop shop, no line to get into it.
No line to get in. You can grab the coffee mug, a t-shirt, a hat, and if you want a Pilsner glass, they have those here too.
And even the pin, which is...
And the pin, yeah. So that's not the limited edition pass holder pin. But it is a Star Wars Weekends 2015 pin.
The generic stuff you can find all over the park.
You say generic, but it's still Star Wars Weekends.
I mean generic Star Wars
Weekends. I know what you mean. It's not pass holder or limited edition. So, but in reality, they're all limited edition. Because you won't try to find a Star Wars Weekends 2014 pin. You're not going to, because it's 2015. All right, we're headed now out of the prop shop towards Toy Story Mania. The catering company's on our right. Lots of background noise going on here. This is Darth Maul on our left. That's what that's for. So you can hear the Sith music. Darth does it. So Darth is near Darth Maul. How about that?
Makes
it doesn't
sense.
Look like he's in a mood to shop, though. He is absolutely in character and doing great. Okay, so now Studio Catering Company on the right. And, of course, the high-octane refreshments also has your Star Wars drinks. How about that? Available here is the Tatooine and the Mustafa. Tatooine sounds good. Parrot Bay coconut rum, orange pineapple juice, Millennium Falcon glow cube. That's the first time I saw the Falcon.
Wow.
It was Death Star and a Millennium Falcon.
Very cool.
Nice. So there's an X-Wing, a Falcon, and a Death Star for sure. Now we're approaching the Coca-Cola bottle, which everybody is very familiar with. See, now if they put a big Starbucks cup of coffee blowing coffee on people, they go crazy.
Yeah.
But there's been a Coca-Cola bottle here for how long doing that? Since the place opened. All right, so to our left is the entrance to the former backlot tour, and now that is...
Darth Vader.
Oh, I'm going to get wet. It's the Darth Vader meet and greet now. With a line that wraps around quite a bit. Had to step over this way so it don't get wet. Okay, now I can go through. Now we can walk through. The Darth Vader meet and greet location is the entrance to the backlot tour. Headed further down towards Toy Story Mania, on the right is Boba Fett.
Characters are still in the parade route, so they will not be out, which is surprising. Right. Darth Maul, I guess, ran from the parade.
I'm sure that he did. Doesn't matter. I do like the backdrops are great for Star Wars weekends. In fact, Boba Fett has the a mock-up of the Han Solo device that he used when he captured him, which is pretty cool. All right, Toy Story Mania. Does Buzz have anything Imperial on? I don't know if they've chosen a side or not. Actually, there's... This is, and we should point this out. It's Star Wars weekends. We're walking through the park pointing out the Star Wars things happening. But there are areas of the park where Star Wars has not infiltrated, including this area. This is still Pixar's Toy Story Mania, Midway Mania. No Star Wars to be found here.
Animation Courtyard as well.
Animation Courtyard, all the way down Sunset, you know, Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster, all those things. And in fact, it was kind of interesting yesterday. During the parade, or right around then, you know, everybody's lined up for the Star Wars weekend stuff. And there's a little girl in her Elsa outfit pulling her mom as quickly as she could to the sing-along, which is still going on here. So that just reminds you that not everybody's here for Star Wars weekend. In fact, you're reminded of that right now as people are running to Toy Story Mania. Standby line is 60 minutes. I guess that's average for a day like today. Right, so there is one Star Wars Weekends thing going on up here, and that is near the building that has been so many things, including the Legend of Jack Sparrow, which is now nothing but a blue building. They are doing a giveaway up here, right?
Right. It's an annual pass holder poster each day of the weekend, and it changes from weekend 1 through 6.
So if you are an annual pass holder, and you have your annual pass with you, which I'm assuming you use to get into the park, you show your annual pass, and they will give you a free poster, a different poster every weekend.
It's 11:20 right now, and they still have posters out.
And this was one people were going to early. You sort of need to know about it, because I didn't see that on a map.
No. It was on the pass holder email that they send out.
Oh, you should read those things?
Yeah.
I need to start doing that. All right, one man's dream on our left. As much as I'd love to walk in there right now and talk about every exhibit, I will resist the urge and save that for Ed and Jimmy and Jen someday. Okay, we've made our way back into the center stage area.
Yeah.
What do you call this now since there's no hat? I don't even know. It's the center.
On the map it says center stage.
All right, we're at center stage. We're headed back towards the crossroads, and we're going to make a left down Sunset Boulevard. Because there are a few Star Wars weekends things happening down here.
Exactly, which had nothing last year. So if you just came for Star Wars weekends, you never saw Sunset Boulevard.
Right. If you go back a few years, the Darth Maul was back there, as I mentioned before, by the Rock and Roller Coaster. But last year, there was nothing down Sunset. This year, they have moved all of the shows to Sunset, right?
Correct. Stars, the Saga, the Rebel show, and Obi-Wan and Beyond, which is the James Hunter Taylor show.
And those are all now in the Theater of the Stars, which you will know as the Beauty and the Beast Theater.
And they still have Beauty and the Beast shows, 9:30, 10:15, and 11:30.
Right. So one of the things that I noticed, if you are not here for Star Wars weekends, you can still see Beauty and the Beast in the morning. Then the stage is transformed into the Star Wars Weekends Theater of the Stars, where they do three shows. We'll get to those in a second. What I found interesting is some of the upgrades that they made in the theater to support Star Wars Weekends.
Oh, absolutely. They have the video screens on each side of the stage, but also a huge video screen on the stage that looks, I mean, just incredible. From pictures to being in person, just blows you away compared to the video screens they had last year in the Premiere Theater.
Yeah, so when I look at it, what they had in the Premiere Theater were projection screens, right? They had a projector that projected onto a screen that dropped down from the ceiling, which is good, and it gets a good impression. But these are LED screens that are stadium quality that you would find inside a sports venue in whatever NFL or Major League Baseball city you might be in.
And not to give anything away, but Star Wars: The Saga had the Emperor. And they had the background of the Carbonite scene and the Emperor room, and it just looked like you were there. Like, the quality and the length of
the screens is
just incredible.
And if you, so when you're looking at the stage, there are screens hanging on the right and left on the top, and those screens are primarily for the people in the back to get a close-up of what's happening on the stage. But then behind the stage is a huge screen that's exactly where they put a background from the movie, and it blended right in, and in pictures it looks like they're in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, the pictures are incredible of it. It's just, Disney did a very, very well job with the quality of the screens.
Yes, and it works perfectly. Have you been into Beauty and the Beast since these screens have gone up? Are they doing anything with them?
They have the sign Beauty and the Beast on the screens before the show starts, and then when the show starts, they turn to black.
Okay, so it's basically like they're not there.
Correct.
I just wondered if there was something in the future. But obviously, this is an upgrade that was done for Star Wars Weekends that is going to be there. I don't see them moving that screen or getting rid of it.
And as we're walking up to the stage, to the right, the far right exit that you usually exit the theater is the standby line. And then the main entrance that you usually go into the show is the premium package VIP entrance. And then the regular fast pass for Beauty and the Beast is the fast pass as well for the Star Wars shows.
So that's a lot of different entrances to this. And I know there was some confusion early on. So they're actually putting the signs up right now for us. The standby line. The Ultimate Day Feel the Force Premium Package entrance, and there's also a standby or a fast pass entrance. Fast passes you need to get early.
Exactly.
These fast passes are, when you look at Hollywood Studios, there's a tiered system. There's the A group and the B group. These are in the A group, so they are considering these shows, Star Wars Rebels, Stars of the Saga, and Obi-Wan is Beyond, as A-level or E-ticket attractions. So you get to pick one of these or Toy Story Mania or Rock and Roller Coaster.
Exactly. And it says 30 minutes before the show time to get there, and 40 minutes people start getting in line for the Fast Pass area, so...
And the way the theater is broken out, they've reserved sections for the VIP package versus the premium package versus the fast passes and then the standby. And they are definitely filled to capacity for every show.
The Stars of the Saga is the most popular one out of the three. And we were walking, because we had a fast pass yesterday for it, we saw the standby line, which reached all the way down to the Planet Hollywood store. And cast member were saying you would probably not get in at that point, so...
You know, it reminded me of early Fantasmic lines, when Fantasmic first premiered, the way that Sunset Boulevard was packed. So very quickly, we mentioned before, Beauty and the Beast is in the morning. There are three other shows. The first one's at 1:45, that's Star Wars Rebels, that's new for 2015. Reveal the adventures, twists, and turns of the first exciting season of Disney XD series, Star Wars Rebels, with Star Wars Weekend's host James Arnold Taylor and a special guest from the show's voice cast, along with a few surprises. So that's what it officially says in the map. And if you look at the list of celebrities that are here, there's a couple of voices from that series. So I'd expect they will be in that show.
Exactly. I went to it on Friday and they had the two stars and didn't talk too much about season two, but... how they work as a team and behind-the-scenes stuff of recording for the shows, but not too much of secrets for the upcoming season.
As you would expect.
Exactly.
Now, what I find interesting there is last year, this was where the Clone Wars show was, and they very quickly swapped out the Clone Wars for Star Wars Rebels.
And it has a following from Celebration from 4 weeks ago. You can definitely tell people are into this show, the Rebels, so...
Got it. Then the second show here in the theater, again, that's at 1:45, so that's afternoon after three Beauty and the Beasts have already happened. The next show is Stars of the Saga. And this is going to vary, as all of these will, every weekend based on the celebrity guests. Stars of the Saga has a Stormtrooper pre-show at 3:15, which is quite amusing.
Yeah, it has some references to some old Hollywood Studios icons.
I think there was a question about what happened to the blue helmet.
Exactly.
But anyway, we have audio of that, and I'll let you guys listen to that. After that, join the Star Wars Weekend's host, James Arnold Taylor, and you'll see him in all of these, as he puts an entertaining 30-minute Star Wars-themed talk show together where you experience the fascinating life and movie-making adventures from Star Wars celebrities. So take your celebrity host, plug them in, and essentially get a talk show-style format where James Arnold Taylor will ask questions. And, of course, this weekend that was with the Emperor.
And he was definitely telling of everything. Like, he was very open. He wanted to be there. He talked about a scene they showed to a great extent. He talked about George Lucas.
What I found was interesting about that is the story that he told around being in Return of the Jedi and then being recast for the prequels. And in Return of the Jedi, he had makeup on to make him look like he was 130 years old. And then when he was in the prequels, he was his normal age, which was around 50s, although he didn't say that.
Exactly.
That was really interesting. And the stories about George Lucas casting.
Exactly.
Great stuff. So get a listen to that. Then the last one's Obi-Wan and Beyond, which is at 7 o'clock tonight. And that's James Arnold Taylor. Feel the Force flowing at Star Wars Weekends. Takes his audience as a fun, fascinating journey into the world of voice acting in Star Wars Weekends. Exclusive performance. You know, James is the voice of over 200 cartoon characters.
Definitely. And he knows he does a show every year, and he tries to mix it up every year, which is great for the locals that come out. So.
Well, and that's good. Well, it's good for us, too,
yeah,
to come down from wherever every year. There's video on Sam's Disney Diary of Obi-Wan and Beyond last year when it was in the Premiere Theater. A much bigger venue here, the Theater of the Stars, so more people getting to see it. But I'm also noticing there are less performances this year because there's only one of each show, which makes that Fast Pass so much more valuable.
Definitely, definitely. And if you're coming the last weekend, you definitely want to get your Fast Pass for Stars of the Saga with Frank Oz, because that will be...
That's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
That's worth another trip down. So Frank Oz is not signing autographs the last weekend, but he will be in the celebrity talk show. Oh, my gosh, the questions that I would love to ask him. What I really want to do is get him on the line with Steve Swanson from the Muppet Cast for a little while, but that's a whole other story.
So I think you had the Ian McDermott line this weekend. That was going to be the second busiest line, and then definitely Frank Oz will be the prime star coming in the
Absolutely.
Last weekend.
And that's his first appearance here. He's not signing autographs. I see another bar that popped up here in front of Theater of the Stars with the Endor and the Alderaan. A couple of more drinks, one with a Millennium Falcon. And one with the Death Star. One's blue, one's green. I like that.
Yeah, there are definitely enough bars to get. So if you see a line at one bar, you can walk down a couple blocks and you have another one that might not be as busy. So
the only last thing I'll mention about the shows here at Theater of the Stars, in the Feel the Force premium package that we experienced mm-hmm. yesterday, we were able to pick one of these shows as a Fast Pass. So if you know you're signed up for that, you can get a Fast Pass for a second show. You can get your fast packets ahead of time. Then when you register for Feel the Force, they'll hand you a paper fast pass for one of these three.
That's exactly what I did yesterday. I had a fast pass for James, and then I did the fast pass for the dessert party for Stars of the Saga. So.
And I'm going to do it the opposite way, because I have Rebels today, and maybe we'll be back for Obi-Wan and Beyond. I'm not sure. Now, the other way to do this, remember the deluxe premium Feel the Force package
mm-hmm.
includes a Fast Pass for all three of these events.
And you know, and I don't know if it's sold out, and you can tell me if it is, but that would be worth every penny for the Frank Oz weekend.
I'm going to guess that that's sold out because
yeah.
it looks to be very limited, but check it out. And I tell you what a big difference from 2014 when I shot the video in front coming in and there was a sign that said Feel the Force premium packages available.
Mm-hmm.
Like, book them right there. That sign I haven't seen this trip.
That's one tip I can give any Disney fan. If you see an event the first year they're doing it, just book it.
The hangar.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we did, the hangar. There was an available, we booked it, and we loved it.
The price is going to be cheaper than the second year. They're going to roll out a lot more stuff the first year. And it's not going to be as many people. Like, I didn't see that hangar advertised that much on social media.
There was a single Disney Parks blog post about it.
And it was one of the best experiences.
It was. All right, so Theater of the Stars. Where did we not get yet? Let's head back up Sunset Boulevard and go towards Echo Lake.
Definitely.
Sound good?
Yep.
All right, we've made our way back towards Sunset Boulevard, and we just turned into the Echo Lake area. On our left is Hollywood and Vine, and I see quite a long line here for the Star Wars dining experience they have over there.
Definitely, that's where you had Jedi Mickey, Princess Minnie, Chip and Dale is the Ewoks.
Nice.
And Donald is the Stormtrooper, and Darth Goofy that actually has pants this time instead of the red boxers.
That's kind of funny, right? Because yeah. I like the Goofy with the red boxer shorts, but somebody must have complained, and he's got pants on this year.
Exactly. The Darth Vader pants. So.
That said, on this event stage is the Padawan Mind Challenge, which is one of many things that happens on the stage outside of the parade. Right? You have the Legend of Force Parade, then they also have the Padawan Mind Challenge going on right now, which is essentially a trivia contest. They have a couple of families up there, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll also have the DJ Lobot dance party there later as well.
Which is a great way to kill time waiting for the fireworks.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get to the fireworks in just a second. So we talked about Theater of the Stars, merchandise, character experiences. They're basically all over studios. Whether you want to meet Disney pals of Star Wars characters, that's basically Jedi Mickey. Stars of the Clone Wars are on the streets of America. The Jedi Council is on Mickey Avenue. Members of the Rebel Alliance are near Star Tours. And the Dark Side is back near Darth Maul. That's where Vader and Darth Maul was. We saw them earlier today.
My biggest advice, if you want one of those big stars from Jedi Mickey to Darth Vader to Chewie, that should be your first thing to do. Because those lines get hour to hour and a half. Quickly.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. There's also a lot of special merchandise, not just merchandise, but food as well, from the cupcakes to the Han Solo popcorn bucket that I talked about earlier. The Boba Fett Stein, which appears to be sold out everywhere I go.
Yeah, those steins are very, very quick to go. Stormtrooper mug last year sold out within a day.
So. Yeah, and it was R2-D2 the year before. I did get the R2-D2. I did not get the Stormtrooper last year. Only because there's only so many places you can put this stuff.
And who can pass up a Darth Vader cupcake?
Oh, you can't.
Mm-mm.
You can't. Chocolate, peanut butter, it is absolutely incredible. So I guess to move on a little further, on the stage is the DJ Lobot dance party. Although, hold on a second, there's the Padawan Mind Challenge. The kids edition is twice a day, and there's also a family edition. The family edition features Ashley Eckstein as one of the hosts.
That's a great way to see her and take pictures and interact with her.
Yeah, unless, I think we mentioned before, she signs autographs.
Definitely.
Of the her universe merchandise if you buy that.
And if you want your kids to be a part of the challenge, or you want your whole family to be in part of the challenge, 10 minutes before the show starts, they pick the family from the audience.
So. Go for it. So you got to be there, you got to be allowed, you got to get picked that way, that's for sure.
You have to know your Star Wars IQ.
Absolutely. Where are the celebrity meet and greets? So where are they doing that this year? Because that used to be around Echo Lake, and we're looking at that right now.
Right.
It's not here.
It's in the old American Idol audition building, which is across the street from the ABC missionary.
The ABC commissary.
Commissary.
So as I'm looking at the former location of American Idol, just past Min and Bill's Dockside Diner, on the back of it, where you would have auditioned for American Idol.
Correct.
Jimmy's done that a few times. I don't think he ever got picked, but I know that he has auditioned, and I have some audio of that. Maybe someday we'll play that. But that's where the autographs are now, so they're no longer around Echo Lake.
Definitely.
All right. Then the DJ Lobot dance party starts at 7 o'clock.
All right. And he's a great DJ who mixes a lot of songs together. Not a typical Disney DJ to display song after song.
Not typical at all. And in fact, when you say mixes together, I hope that I have some audio that I can share with you guys. Because it's not only mixing in Star Wars things, but he does some cool stuff with even the beep from the monorails. When the door closes, and everybody knows that sound, there's the ding-dong, and the doors close, and then you hear the Por favor, Montego de la Hall. It's perfect, and I love the way he mixes it.
He's a very great DJ who does a lot of other shows throughout the year at Walt Disney World.
So he's DJ Lobot, and he goes from 7 until, I believe...
9:30.
Until 9:30, and that's just constant dance party. So We were part of Feel the Force. We need to talk about that. That's a premium package. There's also a VIP package and a deluxe package. Mm-hmm. Confusing to book those, and they sold out very quickly. As you're looking at the event stage or the formal location of the Sorcerer's Hat, on the left-hand side, they will rope off an area with tables, snacks, cupcakes, drinks, you name it, it's going to be in there. This is part of what you paid for to get there, right? Mm-hmm. You got a VIP parade viewing, you got your fast pass, and now you have your dessert party,
exactly.
Which includes drinks like the Jedi Mind Trick, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. I just think it's got to do with coconut and pineapple juice after a hot day in Florida. It's the perfect combination.
And it's all you can drink, all you can eat.
It is all you can drink, and that's all we'll say about that. It was great. The desserts were pretty good, too. What's the best dessert?
It has to be Darth Vader cupcake.
I'll tell you, I prefer the Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, you can't go wrong with any of them.
You can't go wrong. And it wasn't just cupcakes. They had mini versions of the three cupcakes.
Mm-hmm.
A little different than last year, because last year they were actual cupcakes in a little cupcake shell. This year they're a little smaller, almost like little cakes that are decorated.
Exactly.
So you had to eat it with a fork.
Yeah. And that's, who cares? You can have like 20 of them.
Who cares, right? So instead of having one, you have three.
Exactly.
It works for me.
And they keep on bringing them out, and they never run out, so...
And they had some other things, too. There were Rice Krispie Treats that had Stormtroopers on it. There were also, they were R2-D2 domes, they called
it. Chocolate domes, yep.
That was pretty good.
It seems like they had a lot more selection this year, dessert-wise, than last year.
I would agree with that. Another thing that was cool was the way it was set up, because there's a table. There's a long glass table with all of these desserts on top of it. And as you're eating the desserts, they just start to take the empties away and bring new ones back. And that's when I realized what was under this long glass table.
Yep. It was the actual replica of Han frozen in carbonite.
Absolutely. So if you're familiar with Return of the Jedi, when Boba Fett pushes Han Solo out, it's sort of like a table. Well, imagine that table, but now on top of it is glass and there's desserts. And inside it is the Han Solo frozen carbonite. It was awesome.
That was the best kept secret of the dessert party.
Yeah, and it was a kid at eye level that noticed it and pointed it out to me. And I thought, this is awesome. Thank you so much. That was cool. Yes, at the dessert party. At the dessert party later. Absolutely, it was good.
Oh, cool.
Then that's awesome. We have some others hearing the podcast live and wanting to know what we're talking about. That's incredible. So after DJ Lobot dance party, then there's a slight pause, and then the stage show starts, right?
Right.
I believe they call this the Symphony of the Stars stage show. I think that's... I don't know what the official
name
is.
Summon the Force.
Summon the Force. This is James Arnold Taylor, who comes on stage, and much like last year, introduces the Star Wars characters, the bounty hunters, the rebels, you name it. He goes through it. You can see that video. I one of Sam's Disney Diaries. I forget which one it was. But what did you see new this year?
Well, this year they have the little script that they have in front of every Star Wars movie, and it actually says that he invites the dark side and the good side of the Force to celebrate the Force itself.
Okay, cool. So a little synergy there?
Yeah, so
couldn't read it. I didn't have my glasses.
I had a video, so that's how.
Which will be a future video, by
exactly,
the way.
Exactly, exactly. So he summons the Force of all the good and evil, and Han Solo was new this year.
Solo was new, and what I liked about Han comes on stage, the door opens, and Greedo was standing there.
Yeah.
Right? And guess what?
Han shot first.
No, Han did.
Greedo.
Han did. That's good any way you look at it. You got to love that running joke. Now, there was a slight tie-in here to The Force Awakens.
Yeah, it was... I know I expected it, and I know Sam talked about it. We all thought they were going to play that trailer at the... Right
I sure
before.
Hope so. So that everybody knows, The Force Awakens trailer, the second one that premiered at Celebration, that includes Chewie and Han... as they come in and Harrison Ford says Chewie we're home is absolutely incredible.
And they play that
during the day. Mm-hmm. To applause every time.
Yeah.
Well, that might be because I'm there applauding, but
I mean I was there Friday morning when there was 12 people watching it and 12 people just screamed out cheering.
It's awesome to see that. Now that said, they did not play the trailer during the Summon the Force. What did they?
They had the guy from the trailer, from the first one, say, can you feel it? and that had so much bass. You could just feel it tremble throughout
absolutely.
The whole...
You could feel it. You could feel it in your gut.
Yeah, bass. It was the most incredible. Everyone was just... Because everyone didn't know if they're going to play the trailer or what was happening. You just heard
right.
that. And the lights went off on the stage. The doors open. Smoke. Out comes four new troopers out in new armor.
Yeah, the new troopers, whatever they are, whoever they are, we don't know.
Exactly.
But that's it was cool to see them. And which, by the way, that trooper's also on the T-shirt that they're selling.
Exactly. And we talked about on the show before, are we going to see BB-8? Are we going to see anything?
We did not. Nope, nothing.
Anything from the new Star Wars. And nothing in the parade from 501st. Last thing you see right before the fireworks... It's the new troopers from the new movie.
And then they summon the Force and the fireworks begin. The fireworks a little different than last... The music seemed to be the same. The fireworks were a little different.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest change from last year, no Sorcerer's Hat this year.
Exactly.
That said,
yeah.
There's still a stage where the Sorcerer's Hat was. So it's not a perfect view. But there's no hat.
No.
It was good.
If you're in the dessert party and you want the fireworks more than you want the show, and you're in the regular dessert package to the left, go opposite of the stage.
Yeah, if you're standing, essentially, it's still true that if you're standing directly in front of the stage, the stage will obstruct some of the view of the sky.
Exactly. So if you're in one of the two VIP packages opposite of the stage, get the best view of the fireworks.
Yep. Looking at the rest of my map here, there's an attraction, too, going on. How about that? There's an attraction here? Star Tours, The Adventure Continues? Have you heard of that?
Is that new? I've never been on that one.
So, essentially, the part of Star Wars Weekends is Star Tours as well.
And you have to do Star Tours.
You have to. What else? Any other last thoughts before we talk about maybe where we're going with Star Wars Weekends?
If you're coming and you have 3 days to do Star Wars Weekends, Sunday's the best day. The shows are the same. The parade's the same.
And that's a great point. So you watch the parade on Friday and Saturday. And on Sunday, while the parade is happening, there's no line into Darth Maul.
Yeah. Sunday's a lot more laid back. People have got their autographs, seen the shows.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Something to think about. If you have one day and you want to do Star Wars Weekends, do your research. Get a map ahead of time if you can. Make sure you have the times down. Because if you want to get into some of those shows... you're going to need that fast pass. You're going to need to be one of the first in line because not everybody will get in.
Well, I'm not a huge fast pass plus person at all, but with these shows, it works wonders. Like the fast pass line moves very quickly. You have the whole left side of the stage.
Yep.
It's very, very well done in that aspect of it.
Absolutely. So get your fast passes. Star Wars Weekends 2015. I mentioned earlier that it feels like we are in transition this year. And I say that because everyone knows there's a big movie coming out at Christmas time. Oh, speaking of Christmas, I noticed a bunch of Christmas Star Wars merchandise, some of which isn't set to come out until the fall, but a plush Yoda Santa Claus, a Jedi Mickey Nutcracker. This is going to be a Star Wars Christmas.
Is
that's
that
for
on
sure.
your photo report coming out soon?
It absolutely will be because
awesome.
That is cool stuff. And even pins that were Christmas-themed Star Wars. So it will definitely be some tie-ins from The Force Awakens and Christmas this holiday season, just in time for positioning it under your Christmas tree.
And the new movie is like the elephant in the room.
It is, yes.
Because people want to talk about it, but no one's really talking about it. And J.J. Abrams would be a great, great star next year.
He's working on a movie. They had a short clip of him on the screen where he basically said, would love to be there, but we're working on editing of a film that's coming out and we can't be there. And that's all he said.
And we know he's not doing 8, so who better than next year to have JJ?
Maybe next year. Now, I also look around as we look at Echo Lake, Gertie the Dinosaur, Men in Bill's Dockside Diner. This, you know, the rumors are out there that for Star Wars Weekends 2016... this will be a completely different experience.
Mm-hmm.
We're expecting some announcements at D23. At least we hope that happens. But ultimately, some of the rumors are where we're standing, looking at Echo Lake, this may not be here, and this could potentially be Star Wars Land.
I would think next year would be a lot of construction in this area.
A lot of construction walls. And when I say it, we're in transitions, when I look at something like the hangar and the rumors that have been out there, this to me is obviously the test for the potential cantina.
Oh, you nailed it. That's exactly what it was. From the characters walking around to the theming of a counter service restaurant.
Right.
The theming in that for a counter service is throw that together. It was like a character dinner. To
it
me,
was.
It was.
Well, there was blue milk on the menu for crying out loud. They're testing these drinks. All of the food is themed to Star Wars.
From the host to your server to everyone was playing the role, asking what planet you were from. Are you Rebel, Imperial? It was the test. You nailed that right on the head. That's 100% true.
So the rumors, for those of you who haven't heard, is that the Backlot Express will eventually become the cantina. All rumor, all speculation. Echo Lake will be filled in, and this will essentially be Tatooine. So as you come down Hollywood Boulevard and you make a left, you're going to be looking at Tatooine and essentially be immersed into Star Wars that will take you right over where the lake currently is, all the way to Star Tours, with that Backlot Express turning into a restaurant that ties right in.
And going back to the elephant in the room, I really think Disney's trying to keep their mouth shut until D23, and then when that new movie hits, it's all going to be... I think you'll see JJ next year. I really think JJ will be here next year because he has nothing to do with Episode 8. 7's already done.
Fan reaction will be the test of everything and how well the movies do. And look, I'm going to go see the movie. I will be there the first day, and it will be awesome. And I can't wait to see what this looks like in 2016 and, more importantly, 2017.
So if you're here this year, take a lot of pictures of Echo Lake, because chances are next year it will be totally something different.
Or just behind walls.
Exactly.
We also know that they announced that they're building a multi-purpose building back behind the Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster, which is where Darth Maul used to be, which could potentially end up being the location for all of these competitions that happen here and occupy the stage of Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular.
You know, it could really take a celebration turn to the point of having an expo hall in that new building.
Could be. Absolutely.
Having vendors in there, having...
Well, now Darth Maul gets moved out of its temporary location, right? There's two locations this year. That's because they're using a facility that happened to be closings there. But if you pick those things up and move them over into this new building, now you've opened up space so that they can start to work on Pixar Land and start to dismantle things that are back there.
And if you have a theater in that building, have that as a shows, and have Theater of the Stars as a backup.
Absolutely.
For overflow.
It will always be there. So I guess at the end of the day, and we all know this, Hollywood Studios will look nothing like it does today in as little as 3, 4, or 5 years. And I can't wait to see what it looks like.
Yep, so cherish the moment if you're coming this year, because you have no idea. I don't have any idea what's next year is going to bring from Streets of America to Echo Lake.
None of us do. And you know what? I heard a lot of people, you hear people talking, and there's some complaining. Why are there two locations for Darth Maul? Why isn't there one? Well, because they don't have any place else to put it. Mm-hmm. So they're using an entry and an exit for an attraction that was closed. They've also shoehorned Darth Vader into that same location. Yeah. So they're using space they have because they don't have what they want or what's in the plans, which nobody knows about.
And to be honest with you, and I don't want to ramble, but the X-Wing collectibles was for the E-Bears. That's where all the E-Bears basically went the first day. So Disney tried to get those people satisfied with one building and have the regular guest who wants to shop just for merchandise in another shop.
Yeah, and when you say E-Bears, these are unfortunately the people that will camp out, wait in line, buy the limited edition merchandise, then turn it for a profit as quick as they can.
Exactly. So
the next time you're purchasing something on eBay for more than it was on for sale here, understand that you're supporting that. And I don't necessarily agree with it. I am collecting that stuff for me, not for profit.
Exactly.
Now, all of that said, there's more Star Wars weekends we got to do here, dude. And I think we covered just about everything.
Yeah. I mean, Star Tours is calling our name.
Star Tours is calling our name. We might even have a fast pass. So that's what we're going to do. Guys, thanks for listening to the Disney Nerds podcast. Again, I'm Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. I'm with John. We are having a great time here at Star Wars Weekends 2015. If you like the show and like the walkthrough approach in the parks, let us know. And the next time we're down, we'll pull off some more of this. Thanks for listening.
Kongaloosh.
May the force be with you.
So that's it for show 85, guys. Thanks for listening. If you want to send us any questions, the email address is questions@thedisneynerds.com. Thanks for listening. And for Jimmy, Jen, Sam, John, Farah, this is Ed. We're your Disney Nerds. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.